I remember a point in time when people had no clue where Portugal was, let alone what Portugal was. I remember some people even saying, Portugal, that's a part of Spain, right? Or Portugal, that's a city in Brazil. Okay, fine. There are still some people who do that. But now in the age where there are seminars and classes all around the States on how to move to Portugal, where to move to Portugal, and groups on Facebook for people thinking about moving to Portugal, it definitely had me curious why so many Americans are all of a sudden, almost seemingly out of nowhere, so interested in this country. And I'd say it's about time we get started with the video. So roll that intro. Hello there, I'm Rafael DiFuri, and welcome back to another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. In today's episode, I wanted to get into what I was talking about in the intro. And without a doubt, there are going to be plenty of you who are already familiar with many of the reasons why. But as someone who's had a bit of familiarity with the country for quite a while, yeah, I can get why there's an interest in Portugal, but this much interest in the country definitely has had me surprised, especially now with this change, or well, potential change to NHR. We'll see what's going to happen, because the golden visa still may be a thing. Maybe, probably, it could be. Who knows? And I think the first thing that I'll mention goes without saying that regardless of what side of the political aisle you find yourself on, or even if you find yourself right up the center, many people are not happy with how things are where they're from. They don't feel as though maybe they fit in with the community around them. They might not agree with the political powers that are in charge of their area or the nation as a whole, or who may be next up to bat, so to speak. And personally, I might say if that is your reasoning, that might not necessarily be enough to move abroad. Granted, it is a very reasonable reason to start considering it. However, I've met enough expats in my time abroad, on the march to 15 years abroad, and there are certain reasons that I see that tend to be more popular amongst people who are more likely to go back to their country of origin. And politics can be one of them, because politics are tides that are constantly changing. They're moving in one direction, then they move in the other direction, they're moving forward, they're moving backward, the this, the that, the other. But is it going to be a direction that you'll always be happy with? Probably not. And that will be the same in any other part of the world. And there are many people who think about moving to another country like, oh my gosh, America's becoming so this and that and the other. But then the reason why that they're moving to another country happens to maybe be part of the reasoning why they are not happy with their country of origin. The one thing that I probably have to admit is maybe the most funny statement that I've heard a number of times, so many times over the years. Oh, America's becoming so socialist, and it's gone so far off in that direction. It's just not the same anymore. But I think we should move to France because they've got socialized medical care. But it's not just for those reasons. I mean, I've mentioned it on Not Your Average Globetrotter before about people who are wanting to leave their small town in the US to move to a small village in Italy because they can't stand how small-minded the people are in their little town, and they're so tired of everybody being in everybody else's business and so tired of being so far from everything. But you know what would be great? Moving to the other side of the world and living in a small village where we can't speak the language. And so I will say that even though, again, it's a fair enough reason to have interest to move abroad for political reasons, basing them as your sole interest in moving abroad, in my opinion, like I said, I'm also generalizing here, might not be the best way to go. Another big reason that I often hear about people moving to Portugal or having at least an interest in moving to Portugal is because it is so cheap. I've talked about this recently, and some of you know about my opinions on that. I will say in some cases it can be low cost, or there can be aspects of life that are low cost. But when we're talking about having to not only just think about how much you're going to pay for rent, but even some of the tactics that have come up from some landlords, which have now been outlawed, but I do every once in a while hear a whisper about somebody from another country being maybe taken advantage of for not knowing how things work here, but being asked for months upon months and months and months of rent in advance before even being allowed to think about signing the contract or as the deposit or whatever it may be. I think it's absurd. I mean, there were so many times, and thankfully this is something I don't really hear about so much anymore, but like a year in advance, a full year of rent in advance for a foreigner. This is one of the reasons why so many people in Portugal, from Portugal, were unable to stay in some cities. And even though in a lot of the country, the cost of purchasing a place and to an extent renting, it's still not where it once was. I mean, even hearing people talking about being able to purchase an apartment that maybe cost 70, 80, 90,000 in Braga in 2018, 2019, that now costs 150 to 190,000. I mean, this is really, I think, a bubble that is waiting to burst at any moment. I mean, I personally would be very concerned to be purchasing a home, or if I had purchased a home within the last year, 3 years, between the last year and 3 years, I would be absolutely flipping out right now, especially because I've heard so many Portuguese people and foreigners, when they go to the bank for the mortgage, they're actually kind of recommended to go to a variable rate mortgage. And with how things have changed in just the past few years alone, my goodness, I'm horrified to think about how much more somebody who maybe purchased a year ago or 2 years or three, like I was saying, might be paying now versus, let's not get into that because that gets very complicated very quickly. But one of the reasons why people do look at the cheapness of Portugal, I'm really not a fan of calling Portugal cheap because it's not cheap quality. It's great quality of life here, but low cost. One of the reasons I believe why people do start looking at Portugal is because they've looked at places like Spain, Italy, France, Netherlands, UK, and they're seeing that the costs there have been historically a bit higher. And looking at Portugal, things look a bit less. But with how much things have gone up in Portugal, some parts of the country are very much on par with some of the most expensive cities on the continent. I think that says something there. And so for those people who were unable to afford moving to France because the cost of living there was too high and moving to Portugal instead, now seeing the same prices that they were trying to avoid in France, was moving to Portugal really the best choice for that person? And don't get me wrong, because like I've said, I love living here. I really do enjoy living here. But I do recognize also that it isn't perfect, and it's not going to be perfect for everybody. In many ways, it's very right for me and what I'm looking for in life. But I will never say you should go to move to a place because I like it, because I have very particular tastes that fit my particular needs. And my particular needs don't fit what a lot of people are looking for. Maybe there are some aspects that work for me that work for others, of course. But what I'm saying is, because I like something doesn't mean that it's the place that you should move to, because there will be plenty of people who are looking to move to, say, Italy and enjoy very specific details about what Italy has to offer, but then find themselves looking at Portugal because of the cost of living that has been presented in public media, that maybe it would be a better fit for their budget. But you know what? Maybe let's jump into that next topic a little bit more from the financial side, because there are so many people that say, oh, I can't wait. It's going to be so cheap to move there. And, you know, I've got my social security coming in. It's going to be great. Taxes can be 30, 40, 50%. And then they say, no, but I'm earning social security. Social security, that can't be taxed. And social security can be taxed in Europe. And so that is something really to keep an eye on for somebody on a fixed income from another country in another currency, because not only are you going to kind of be at the mercy of a foreign nation doing well, but also the currency doing well, and on top, the exchange rate doing well. Because even though the dollar and euro have been much closer in recent years, I mean, if the euro-dollar exchange rate were to change to, say, 150 per 1 euro, that would be a huge, huge hit at the end of the month in your spending power. And so if you already have to pay taxes and you already are having to think about exchange rates and getting your money over here, or figuring out a way of getting your Social Security sent to you abroad, or figuring out how you can get your Social Security sent to an American bank and then transfer it over with some service like Wise, TransferWise, not a paid sponsorship. I just think they're a decent service. And then on top, you have to think about the exchange rate fees and the transfer fees. Again, this is one of the reasons why I like Wise, because they don't get into so much of that. There's a little bit on the back end, but it's ends up being one of the cheapest ones. Again, really not a sponsorship, not an advertisement, just a service that I think is worth looking at. I'm not saying that I use them. I'm just saying that if you are working with multiple currencies or having at least to go between two or more, definitely worth considering. I'm not saying don't look at Revolut, but I've heard so many people being so happy with Wise over the years. Not perfect, but worth considering. But then once you've taken all those things into account, how much of your money do you have? Because your money will cost you. I know, a very strange concept. Maybe you've worked your whole life and then all of a sudden the amount that you receive is costing you to keep. Or not just to keep, but to receive. And then also don't forget, in Portugal, you have to pay for your bank accounts here. Like most of the time, not all banks, but they'll be, granted in the States you can have monthly fees as well, but like a monthly fee between say 7 euros. I think there are some bank accounts that go to 15, 20 euros per month. There's at least one bank that you can do for free, but you can only open it once you're a resident here. But for many people that are say coming from the US, for example, that do need their residency, they might have to show money in a bank and get all that set up. And for that, you're going to have one of the accounts that you have to pay for. And it just gets very complicated very quickly. And a lot of people think that you can just move abroad, that you don't have to do so much ahead of time. And it's not just as simple as getting on a plane. You have to get visas to enter and then registration for residency and making sure that you can stay there and how long you can stay there. And even though you should be able to renew, how long can you actually renew? And you're not guaranteed that the rules that exist today are going to be the same rules in a few years from now. Even though maybe there's a chance because you came in with X, Y, and Z expectations and X, Y, and Z circumstances in front of you, that maybe you're get grandfathered into some special program because you came at such date, at such time, before such date and such time, so that you can get X, Y, and Z presented to you. I know it gets complicated quickly, but you have to think about things in the long term, because there are so many people that think about moving to Portugal for just the citizenship alone. And you say, oh, gee, golly gosh, you know what? Maybe this will be a great opportunity. You only have to stay in a country for 5 years and then you have the whole European Union. Like, look, I think it's a real shame at the end of the day that people who are only coming here for the passport and then jumping ship after, I think it's a really unfortunate thing, because moving to a country, I personally believe you should be willing and open to not only learning the language, but learning about the culture and embracing it. Maybe you don't have to embrace all aspects of it, but to at least take the time, because even it gets, I mean, like even when it comes to food, I've heard so many people say, oh, you eat like they do. Oh my gosh, you like their food? Yeah, I really like the food here. I really enjoy it. Granted, I might not eat a blood sausage, or I might not have the blood rice stuff or intestines, but that might go for any country. But aside from that, there's still a lot of great, wonderful food to eat here. 50 million different ways of having bacalhau salted cod. Oh my goodness. Sometimes it is truly delectable. Of course, because it's not your average Globetrotter, we have to talk a little bit about food. It would be an empty episode otherwise. Because even when we're talking about having the ability to remain in Portugal, there's so much to explore here and there's so much to do. And between region to region, city to city, village to village, you can find things that you wouldn't find anywhere else. And that's something that I think a lot of people really overlook and don't take the time to get into. Really, Portugal has a lot to offer. And even from the parts of Portugal, or part of Portugal that isn't really very Portuguese, down in the Algarve, down in Little England, there is still something very special about that place and the natural beauty that it offers. And then when you come up to the far north here in Braga, I mean, there's a lot of natural beauty in a very different way up here. You have mountains, hills, and valleys, and just beautiful areas in the countryside that are very lush and green. And for me, That's something that I really enjoy. Maybe down in the Algarve, it gets a little bit more brown and dry, but you have the gorgeous beaches and cliff sides there. You can look at pictures online. There are plenty of beautiful locations down in that part of the country. What I will say, though, is that in a way, I do think it's almost a little unfortunate how popular the country has become. I'll say it like this. Not that I'm saying that people shouldn't come here. What I'm saying is that I think it's a great place to be for the people who are into what is offered here. But I think there are a lot of people coming here with hopes and dreams that are unrealistic, and they come, they waste their time, they waste their money. And while they do that, the country gets crowded and the prices start shooting up even more. What was maybe expensive becomes even more expensive, and what was reasonable starts pushing that boundary of potentially getting into the realm of expensive. As I mentioned recently, if you are going to be moving to a country solely for the financial benefits or even just to get citizenship, it's not enough. And I might even start arguing if it's questionable morally and ethically. I'm not saying a person's a bad person for doing it, but I think if you're going to get the citizenship of a country, you have a responsibility to be a citizen. If you're born into a nation, it's a different situation. But to spend time there, get the citizenship, and pack up and leave just so you can go somewhere else, it's almost disrespectful in a way, I would say. And that's also why I've even mentioned that when it comes to Italian citizenship by descent, having some type of residency requirement is not something I would necessarily inherently be against. And because one of the reasons why I got my Italian citizenship was so I could live in Italy, not so I could be anywhere I wanted. I was thinking, yeah, it'd be nice to have that option. But I think at least spending a certain amount of time as a citizen in a country should have some kind of requirement on top of it. And I think with that said, this is where I'm going to round out this episode. So thank you all so much for joining me for another Friday night for another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. Especially a thank you to those of you who helped this project to keep going with the monthly support on Patreon or the one-time support here with the thanks button on YouTube, as well as through RafaelDiFuria.com/support. Thank you all so very, very much for being a part of this. Stay safe and healthy out there. I'm Rafael Di Furia, and I will see you all next time for another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. Later.